Are you living by the principle of deferred gratification? Those that do will find great reward in the future. The Balanced Word is next.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Our culture tells us you need more, you need it faster and now. But today on The Balanced Word, we'll see the true value of deferred gratification. If you're willing to pass up on some things immediately, there's greater good and rewards down the road. That's the lesson in front of us today as we turn back to the Proverbs. Pastor Dave Rolfe, as you might have guessed by now, is talking about deferred gratification today. It's part of our study in the Proverbs that we're calling Smarter Living. And really, that's our prayer for you, that you'll adopt God's way of smarter living as you go about life and ministry.
Palm Sunday. That day, oddly, 5 days before Jesus was crucified, you know, 4 days before the people were just yelling, crucify him, they were crying out to make him king. He got on a donkey. He rode down that little road on the Mount of Olives heading toward the east gate of Jerusalem. And the people were waving palm branches and crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This great celebration that our king is here. And before long, 5 days later, he was killed. Spoiler alert, he only stayed dead 3 days. But Palm Sunday, a really strange juxtaposition, really, of making him king and killing him. A key to understanding it, I think, is in what they cried out as he rode down the hill, because they were crying out, Hosanna. Hosanna means save now. See, they didn't understand that, as far as they were concerned, if he would become the king of Jerusalem, we're good with that. But he had a bigger plan. There was more that he wanted to do. And he basically had to say, I'm sorry, but now isn't the time when I am going to save you. Now isn't the time when I am going to become king. Someday I will, but I have some really nasty business to attend to first. Their ability, or their lack of ability really, to understand that the path to him becoming the king of the world, him becoming the Messiah on his throne, was a much longer trail than what they had anticipated. It wasn't that short little road down the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem, but it was a long path that would lead to suffering and death and years of offering his kingdom to people, offering salvation to others. They didn't understand that. And this week, as we're looking in the book of Proverbs, as we are all year, what we're going to look at today in Proverbs is something that we call deferred gratification, or some people call it delayed gratification. Deferred gratification is the capacity to turn down immediate rewards for the sake of gaining greater future rewards. It's actually, as we study the book of Proverbs, deferred gratification is ultimately almost all of what it's about. It's the idea that you don't just grab what you can get now, but you do the right thing, believing that down the road it's actually going to be a greater blessing. It's one of the keys to life. Are you willing to pass up immediate rewards in order to gain a greater reward later? There's something within us that doesn't like to delay our gratification. Now, there was an interesting famous experiment that was done back in the 60s by a guy named Walter Mischel, a research scientist at Stanford University. And you may have heard of it. It's called the marshmallow test. The marshmallow test, he would bring a little child into the room and put a marshmallow on the table. And then he would explain, if you eat the marshmallow, that's fine, but you won't get any more marshmallows. But if you wait to eat the marshmallow, I will give you two more marshmallows in a few minutes. And they videotape the kids, and it's so cute to watch. Some of the kids are just sitting there, oh, they wanted it so bad. Other kids just popped it right in their mouth, no problem. But it was interesting, they didn't just test them then, they kept track of those children for the next 40 years. And they found that over 40 years, the children who were able to defer their gratification, to put off that reward, ended up testing higher SAT scores. They had lower instances of addictions. They had lower rates of obesity. They had greater capacity to relate to and connect with people. Radically, further tests have shown, interestingly enough, that deferred gratification can actually be learned. There may be some genetic aspects to it, but for the most part, through doing tests, they figured out you can actually teach people to respond with deferred gratification. If it's that important, it's a good thing for us to understand. And in Proverbs, there's a lot of stuff about this basic principle that will I resist immediate rewards in order to gain a greater reward later? Now, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. And there's a verse in here that deals specifically with this, and I'll read a couple others leading up to it just to get the picture, to get the full story. Proverbs chapter 13. A lot of times we think, and last Sunday we talked about laziness, a lot of times we think that lazy people just don't want anything. But the truth is, lazy people have as much desire as anyone else. But look at verse 4, Proverbs chapter 13. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. It's focusing, it's desiring, it's working that ends up bringing blessing to people. A person who doesn't have anything, they want it as much as anyone else, they just aren't willing to put in the work, in other words. Now go forward a couple more verses to verse 7. This ironic statement: there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. In other words, some people will get a lot and end up with nothing. Some people will settle for a little and end up getting a lot. It's this whole idea of where it ends up is what really matters. It's not what you have in the immediate, presence. Now, fast forward to verse 11 and 12. He says in verse 11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. And then look at verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Notice he says, when you have something that you're looking forward to, hope, and it's being put off, it's being delayed, it's being deferred, gratification deferred, it just can make you feel sick sometimes. You want it so bad. You want it so bad you can taste it. But, as he says, when the desire comes, when the payoff finally arrives, it's a tree of life. The tree of life, that tree that in the Garden of Eden, it was the biggest blessing in the garden because it represented life that would go on and on and be fully self-sustaining. They neglected to obey God as a result by eating of the shortcut tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were ejected from the garden and lost the tree of life. Later on in Revelation, we find out that in heaven, the tree of life is there. It's still there. But here in Proverbs 13:12, we see that there is a discomfort when you defer something that you're really hoping for. But then when it arrives, when it finally works, it finally pays off, you're so glad that you waited. You're so glad that you, what's forego in the past? That you have foregone your immediate gratification so that ultimately the tree of life is there, that which can sustain you forever. Such an important principle, really throughout the scriptures, that if you are willing to wait and to work and to be patient and to make the right choices, it will not necessarily pay off immediately, But if you're willing to defer your gratification, it pays off in a great way in the future. And that's the deferred gratification that we're talking about. Solomon talks about it all the time throughout Proverbs. This week, when I was just reading through the book of Proverbs to think, okay, there's some other scriptures I need to bring into this topic. And I realized, yeah, the entire book, it's all kind of about that. Problem is, in our society, in our culture in particular, deferred gratification is not something that we are very good at practicing. In fact, everything in our culture drives us towards immediate gratification. Just think about our use of technology, for instance. It wasn't that long ago when, I mean, you were so excited to be able to connect to the internet, sort of the internet. It wasn't like the internet today. It was this cheesy imitation where you could communicate if you had one of those AOL discs and you put it in and you'd be able to connect on a 300 baud modem that was whoosh, whoosh. And while you're in the middle of communicating, if somebody called you, you lost your signal. But it was like, it still seems so amazing that I can connect. And then you had 1,200 baud modems and 2,400 baud modems. Now we have the broadband internet that's so fast. You know, back in the day, your telephone had to have a cord connected to it. Oh, I thought it was amazing when they invented pagers. So somebody could page me, and then I'd be looking for a phone booth so I could call them back. I thought, man, isn't life great? Remember, if you look at old movies, when rich people eat in restaurants and they're important, someone calls for them, the waiter brings a phone out with the cord, you know, attached, and you're like, wow, look at that guy. He's in a restaurant talking on his phone. Now everybody at McDonald's is talking on their phone, except talking is really overrated, let's face it. In this day and age, you don't want to talk on the phone. Nothing's more annoying than when you text somebody and they call you. It's like, I don't want to talk to you. Just give me the answer. Do it in shorthand. If an emoji will do it, that's fine. Because I got things to do. I don't want to have a conversation. We want everything now. We want everything immediate. It used to be you sent somebody a letter. It might take a week to get there. I remember when I was so amazed when the mail could get somewhere in like a day or two. Now mail, I don't even know what it is. It's just, you know, something that gives me a paper record of a bill that I already paid online. But our culture just says, you need more, you need it faster, and I need it now. I heard about a guy who was on the first commercial flight that had Wi-Fi. And he said, guy sitting next to him, they announced, hey, we have Wi-Fi, you can log on, here's the password. And the guy sitting next to him is, oh, this is cool. He logs on, and like 10 minutes later, the signal went down. And this guy's like all mad. This blanking thing, you know, doesn't work. It's like, for your whole life, you never had Wi-Fi on an airplane. You've had it for 10 minutes, and now you're addicted to it, and you just have to have it. Our culture just says, get it now, do it here, do it now. Not only in terms of technology, we're the same way with health. We want to stay healthy, but we don't want to do things that long-term it takes to be healthy. If you gave people a choice, look, if you just eat the right things and exercise, you'll live a good, healthy life. Our first thing is, isn't there a pill that'll make me do that instead? Isn't there a shortcut? Everything that's advertised on late night TV is basically telling you, you don't need to diet and exercise. Just get this gadget. Just try this medication. Just do this thing. We're inundated with people who are selling us on the idea that, no, there are shortcuts. It's okay. You can have it all and you can have it now. Nowhere is this more obvious than in economics. Remember, it wasn't that long ago when there was no such thing as a credit card. But now, Americans live on their credit cards. Of the people in America who actually carry a balance on their credit card at like 17, 18% or more, there's an average of $16,000 per household that's floating in credit card debt, in consumer debt. Altogether, it's $3.5 trillion in consumer debt in America, which is positively stingy compared to our government that has a deficit of $19 trillion. That's like almost $6,000 of debt per citizen, men, women, and children. Now, if you count people who work for a living, it's like $16,000 each that we owe on behalf of our government. See, nobody wants to actually be disciplined. No one wants to wait to buy anything. And by the way, that consumer debt doesn't include what you own on your house, because that's actually theoretically an asset. It's just that consumer debt. So in a universe where deferred gratification is one of the keys to life, we live in a society that doesn't value deferred gratification at all. Everything in our society is about getting immediate gratification. You see why we have some of the problems that we have? And it's not going to go away. Somebody who wants immediate gratification doesn't even worry about problem solving. It's like, I don't have to problem solve. I'll just wait. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll work out fine. It'll be somebody else's problem. That's the way our government works, and that's the way so often people find to work, missing this important principle of deferred gratification. The key to learning deferred gratification is discipline. It's the ability to put limitations on yourself. It's the ability to draw lines and rules and live by them. Discipline is incredibly important. The more you are able to learn discipline, the more you are able to defer gratification. Therefore, the more long-term, the better your life is going to be. And yet again, not that many people really want discipline in their lives. Now, the Bible comes along, and I think a lot of times we think that a lot of the rules in the Bible are just to make us better people and make us submit to God. But actually, God is doing what's best for us by putting limitations, by allowing us to expect and understand deprivation in certain selective ways. I mean, we talk about this a lot, spiritual disciplines, things like fasting. It's not that going without a meal or a few meals is that important for you or that good of a thing, but what it does is, as God calls people to fast, it's like, okay, I am going to deprive myself of the immediate gratification of a meal in order to accomplish a greater good down the road. But we don't like that because we don't like to defer our gratification even for one meal. Things that when the Bible talks about giving to God, it's something that was ultimately with the Jews, it was a part of the law. You have to give a percentage of all of your increase for the Lord's work. It wasn't God's fundraising thing to help him do what he wanted to do. It was for the benefit of people. See, the Bible teaches that what you sow, you're going to reap. God will always give you back more than what you give. It's a principle. But are you able to say, I will give up this amount of money right now and trust God that ultimately that's going to be in my best interest? It always would be, but hey, I don't like deprivation. So I will just spend what I have and I'll just forget about that. The Sabbath celebration, where the seventh day they would take the day off and shut it down. Most of us, it's rare if any of us have a true day off. In our day off, we have a whole list of other jobs that we need to do typically. Because what Sabbathing is, what taking a break is I say, I have a lot of stuff I could do today, but I'm just not going to do them. I'm just going to stop everything because I am going to show God that I trust him. I'm just going to believe that it's in my best interest long term for me to take some time out. So see, deprivation, there are other things when the Bible talks about just going and being still and quiet in the presence of the Lord. It's just, will you deprive yourself of anything that's going to ultimately produce a greater ability to have deferred gratification one of the most important principles in life. I think sometimes it's good to do things just for the exercise of discipline. One of the things that I generally do in the mornings is after I work out at the gym, I take a freezing cold shower. Now, I know that sounds like weird, but there are two reasons why I do it. For one thing, even after I get up early and I work out and I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go back to bed. I don't drink coffee, but I read a study that said if you take a cold shower, it'll wake you up as much as the equivalent to a cup of coffee with caffeine. So that's interesting. But an even greater reason why I do it is I hate cold showers. But it's a funny thing. When every day when I just go, oof, I'm going to hate this, but I'm going to do it because it's an opportunity for me to practice discipline in my life. That may sound weird. It may sound like, oh, why are you torturing yourself? No, I just like to say, number one, I understand it's good for me. It's good for your pores and everything else. But it's just like, just because I don't like to do it, that's why I do it. Now, I'm not, you know, beating myself with whips. I'm not deliberately making myself miserable, lying on beds of nails. But in a simple way like that, something that's actually good for me that I never want to do, I never want to take a cold shower. I don't ever feel, boy, a cold shower would feel really good right now. The truth is, it never sounds really good to me to get out of bed. But you do it because you want a disciplined life. Discipline is the key to deferred gratification. And so not only taking the discipline of the restrictions that you have, like the fact that, boy, I'd love to just be unattached, but I have four kids. That's good for you. That discipline is good. You may think that you'd be better off not having that, but the truth is, every limitation on you is an opportunity for you to practice discipline, which will teach you either deferred gratification or it'll kill you. Because you have to defer your gratification when you have kids, for instance. And so deferred gratification comes from discipline.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 945, and 1130. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish things up, here again is Pastor Dave.
Well, where does discipline come from? Discipline ultimately comes from trust. It comes from faith. The conviction and the belief that this sacrifice that I am making is worthwhile because of what will come as a result of it. It's really interesting that with kids and deferred gratification. They've done studies, and some of them I thought were really cruel. They don't do these kind of studies anymore, but this was in the 70s, where we just thought kids were animals. But and now, of course, animals are more valuable than kids to us. But what they did is they would do the marshmallow experiment, but before they would do it, they would make a promise to a kid, and then they would either fulfill the promise or they would go back on the promise. And it was amazing. The children who had seen promises fulfilled we're much more likely to end up waiting for the extra marshmallows. And we learn from that how important it is to be trustworthy to our kids if we're going to raise them with a capacity to understand deferred gratification, because you learn faith by someone being faithful to you.
We'll talk more about deferred gratification next time on The Balanced Word as Dave Rolfe opens the Proverbs. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and